what we're going to read in a moment from the Gospel of John, a story that's well known to many of us, is the story of Jesus coming in through locked doors into a room that was cramped and tight with fear. We can maybe picture this room as being low in oxygen, locked tight, hot, silent, windows tightly shut, maybe the air not moving at all, and the people in it maybe not moving at all, just sitting, shell-shocked with grief at what they had just seen, that Jesus was dead. And into this very room came Jesus, showing himself alive, resurrected, still bearing the horrible marks of crucifixion, yet fully alive, inconceivably alive. There are few scenes in the Bible that I have tried to imagine more than this one. This one just captures me. I've often tried to imagine, including this week, the size of the room and what they were doing and how it felt, how it smelled. And what did Jesus look like when he came in, bearing those marks? Did he still have gashes around his head from the crown of thorns? Were his clothes bloody? And what about his hands? What were they like? And what did his face look like as he came in and said that one most important leading word? Peace. Peace. Wow. I can't think of a scene from the Bible that I have tried to imagine more than this one. And there's part of it that is absolutely beyond what I can imagine. We'll hear it again in a moment, but listen now to verse 22. He breathed on them and said, "Peace." What was that like? It doesn't say he blew on them. He breathed on them and said, "Peace. Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathe. It's interesting, the Greek word here for the word breathe is the basis of a word we know. It's emphazao, which means to inflate or to fill up. And it's from that we get our word emphysema. Emphysema, a chronic, irreversible condition where the air sacs in the lung are filled and there's less room for the exchange of oxygen. Same base word in Greek. Emphysao, he breathed, and he said, "Peace. Receive the Holy Spirit." Wouldn't you love to have been there for that? And then, a week later, he zeroed in on Thomas. We're going to hear this. Thomas, who we love to kind of pick on as the great doubter, but Thomas, who, in all truth, we can probably relate to the most. With his "I'll believe it when I see it" approach to life. So listen to this story, part of the story of all stories, the best story there is, the story about a risen Christ. Beginning in John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also called Didymus, which means the twin, was one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet and yet have believed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been thinking a lot about breathing in connection to this story, in connection to Jesus coming in and breathing on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathing, breath, the breath of life. It comes up early in the biblical story. In Genesis 2, we read about how God created Adam. The Lord God formed a man, and the Hebrew word for man here is Adam. The Lord God formed a man. He formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Breath of life. And then in Psalm 104, this beautiful psalm about the God of all creation. Partway through it, in verses 29 and 39 of Psalm 104, we read about creatures and breath, meaning humans and animals, creatures who have lungs. When you take their breath away, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, ruach, your breath, your wind, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. Then there's Ezekiel 37, a story some of you know well about the Valley of Dry Bones, where the prophet Ezekiel sees a huge valley filled with sun-bleached, dried bones, a vision of complete death. And he asks God, "Can these bones live?" Crazy question. And God says to the bleached bones, "I will make breath enter you. And you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And that's the main point. It's not just breath for life. It's breath for knowing who gives life. Who gives the breath. Who is life. One more place in the Bible to go. At the end of the Hebrew prayer book, the Psalms, after 150 Psalms, all these prayers, the last phrase of the last Psalm, 150, reads, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. The breath of life. The need God put into us to breathe. Physically, biologically, how long can we go without breathing? Not very long. I'll tell you a brief story. Some of you have been around here 3 years or more will remember this. The Thursday morning in March when I was coming into the church for a staff meeting and I hit the ice, went down and snapped my ankle, landing on it funny. I tried to get up and passed out, tried to get up, passed out. 4 times I tried to get up and passed out, and finally I was out in the snow, just out cold. And I'm really thankful to the crew that came along and helped haul me into the building and get me into a wheelchair and tend to me. And there's more to this story that I don't need to go into right now. I don't want it to become a distraction. But I'm telling you this, not so that you remember that particular story in and of itself, but because of this. When the ambulance pulled up down at the far end of the building and I was brought out and put onto a gurney and moved into the back of the ambulance, my blood pressure was plummeting. And the EMT, whose name I never got, but I wish I knew him to thank him, the EMT got right down in my face and said, Tim, the one thing you need to do, you just need to do one thing, breathe. That's it. You have one job here, breathe. He told me that because I was pushing that pain away as hard as I could, I wasn't breathing. I was just going like this, fighting that pain, and I wasn't breathing. There was very little exchange of oxygen, and my blood pressure was going down, and because my blood pressure was down, they couldn't give me the pain meds I needed. So he said, breathe. We'll take care of everything else. You just breathe. And what a gift that was, to be told, you only have to do one thing. We'll take care of everything else. You just do one thing. Breathe. And I began breathing. My blood pressure came up, and they gave me those wonderful pain medications. Yeah, after I got those pain medications, I thought, I'm good. I'll walk home. I know you've been hurt before. All of you. And maybe you've been hit with overwhelming pain where your entire system got overwhelmed like mine did. Passing out kind of pain. And not just physically. Pain comes in all kinds of variety. And it can knock us out. And it can take our breath away, literally, can't it? That level of pain. Fear can do that too, can't it? When we become terrified about something, some dreadful thing that is coming or that has happened, and everything in us is on high alert, danger, 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 and we are trying to push it away as best we can, we can quit breathing. I know I'm on common ground here. Coming back to that story from John 20, picture the followers of Jesus locked tight behind their doors in that rented room. This airless room. Picture their whole beings locked tight with pain and with fear, maybe trying to push it away. It didn't happen. The pain is too much. Maybe hardly breathing. Because remember what they had just seen. They saw pure evil unleashed in the world. The crucifixion of God's Son. They saw Him on the cross. They saw the sky go black. They felt the shaking of the earth as He died. They saw His dead body removed from the cross and taken to a grave. They thought He had come to change everything, and now everything went the exact opposite direction to their eyes. And then He came into the room after all this. He came into the room in through everything blocking the way, coming into their overwhelming pain and fear and shame and everything else. And He said, peace. Peace be with you. And then He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then He said this. He said this to this Holy Spirit breathed upon, soon to be sent people, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you don't, they're not. This could be a whole other sermon right here, but I won't do that. Remember what they had to have heard Jesus say from the cross. As Luke tells it, after having been so brutally, viciously mocked, beaten, and then nailed to a cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." Some of you have heard this before, but the Greek word for forgiveness, I love this. It means another meaning of forgiveness, aphiemi, is to release, to send away, to untangle, to let go. That's forgiveness. So here in this cramped, tightly locked up room, maybe airless room, when he says to his pain-filled, fearful people, peace, and breathes the Holy Spirit upon them, he also says, if you forgive people their sins, they're forgiven. If you release them, they're released. But if you don't, they're not. The connection I see here for us is a connection between breath and life and peace that we can receive through Jesus' forgiveness. But it's not only for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not only for us to be released, as central as that is. It is also the breath and life and peace and release that we receive through Him when we release others, when we forgive others their sins, all by way of the Holy Spirit that whose presence has been breathed into us. Forgiveness, release, received and lived and then given away like it's been given to us. It comes to us as well as to others like fresh breath into constricted lungs, like albuterol for somebody with an asthma attack, where you can breathe. Breathing, peace, the breath of Jesus. We all know the need for breath physically. That's just a given. There's also this need for breath spiritually. The breath of Jesus breathing His peace into us. The breath of Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit into us. The breath of Jesus breathing forgiveness into us. That then we share with others by the Holy Spirit at work in us. This is what Jesus breathes into anyone who comes in humility and repentance and faith to Him. So I'd like us to pray together. And as we go into prayer, I'd like us just to take this biblical word here, breathe, and to take a moment just to breathe in His presence. And to invite Him to breathe into us what He needs to breathe. So pray with me. Lord, help us simply to physically and then spiritually to breathe. And to receive what You give to us. Peace, Your Holy Spirit, forgiveness. And with Your peace and Your Holy Spirit at work in us in ways beyond what we understand, and beyond the receiving end of forgiveness, help us to forgive others, even the people we don't want to forgive. Do a new work in us. Breathe Your breath into every part of our being. We pray this in Your name.